Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing you down-to-earth conversation about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, mental health advocate, self-discovery and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. From situations to situationships, I'll be bringing discussions about the challenges women face from day to day, but don't talk about it enough as we navigate this thing called life. So welcome back, guys. Welcome back. Today, I have a very special guest, someone that I'm ecstatic to be talking to. She's a philanthropist, author, and honorable discharge Navy veteran. Thank you so much for your service. I know you hear that all the time, but thank you.
Thank you.
She has built a reputation as a courageous advocate for victims of sexual trauma due to sexual trauma that she experienced as a young girl, of which she never received her just due. She had to go through a journey of healing by first acknowledging that she's not a victim, but a survivor who has the ability to take control of her life and reclaim the power that was stolen from her. So today I am online with Monique Peterkin. She has dedicated her life to helping others go through the same journey of healing. We're gonna be talking about her book, It Was Him, Not Me, How I Reclaimed My Power and Learned to Live Beyond Childhood Sexual Trauma. Monique, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Liz. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be here as well.
You are amazing. Your story is one that I know is shared by many. I think a lot of young girls at some point in their lives go through some sort of sexual trauma. And they suffer from it. They suffer because there's not many people who are understanding or willing to acknowledge. And there's some people who say, oh, well, it happened to me, so get over it. That's just not the right outlook for it. So it's difficult for us as women, as young girls into women, to heal from something that we're expected to just get over.
Exactly.
So in your book, tell me a little bit about your book. What inspired your story?
Okay, so I've been meaning to write this, a little backstory about the book. I suffer from bipolar disorder and anxiety attacks due to my sexual trauma. I never got the help I needed when I was 7 to 12. I kept silence. Teenagers, I kept silent, went into the military. The memory regressed, so it was like it never happened. Mm-hmm. And then as I was mentoring one of my fellow colleagues who was a rape victim, everything triggered back. So, you know, everything just started, you know, when the rain, it pours,
right.
Everything started going wrong. The bipolar was, I was diagnosed with bipolar during my second year in the military. Then the anxiety attacks that was happening, and they were medicating me, but they weren't helping me, you know? So, the typical stereotypical question of, so what do you feel, or how do you feel about that, was asked to me. And I was just like, I don't know how I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't explain it because for so long, these memories were regressed and now everything is popping up and I don't know where to go, yeah. You know? 2014, I got out of the military and I got help through outside outpatient VA, and my therapist, he's amazing. To make a long story short, we started working from, you know, from digging deep from like exactly what happened, like a chronological order, mm-hmm. but you know, every month or every year, something new popped up, you know, something that I remember, something, triggered memories, you mm-hmm. know? And in 2018, I had a mental breakdown, exactly as the words that my mind literally just said no, mm-hmm. right? I was triggered. I was suicidal, you know, and there's a lot of things that says, you know, vets are suicidal because we don't talk about our trauma,
right?
You know, not in the military. And especially if you had sexual trauma, it makes it that much worse. Mm-hmm. So I was hospitalized for a while, and then, you know, did the hardcore, you know, let's get it back together. Came out, and then, you know, I was just like, this cannot be my life. You know, it cannot be depression, manic attack, depression. It cannot be that cycle. So I decided to try to go into myself and figure out, you know what, okay, what is the cause? Like, I know the scenario that happened, but what is triggering all these emotions, these sensations, you know, these feelings? How can I make it stop and heal from it instead of being doped up on medication?
Right.
I started researching things such as rapid eye movement, desensitization therapy, EMDR. I researched, you know, self-cure, anxiety attacks, you know. And one of the things that kept popping up was just like, sit in your feelings, you know. And I was just like, who's trying to sit in their feelings? I'm trying to get away from these feelings, right. You know. And the more I researched, the more I came to understand that, you know, they were actually right. You know, for so many, we like to slap a Band-Aid on trauma, you know, whether it's domestic violence, physical violence, you know, car accidents. They like to say, you know what, you're not feeling it right now, so it doesn't matter, which is not true, because psychologically, our brain still remembers these trauma and sensations such as smell, sight, feel, hearing can trigger these. Right. So if you aren't able to identify your triggers, if you aren't able to understand your triggers, and if you aren't able to handle your triggers in a positive outcome, you will forever be stuck in this cycle of negative, intense emotions, right? So that's not, let me know if I'm talking too much.
No, darling, go ahead. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm a reader. I like to read about self-help. I like to read about educational psychology. That's my field. I'm actually a student in trauma psychology for my PhD. And also, I am currently getting certified in trauma coaching.
Awesome.
Domestically and internationally. So I seeked out my book coach, Jasmine Womack. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of her. She is very reputable, very amazing, straightforward. She tells you like it is. But when I came to her and I said, Jasmine, I got this idea, but I don't know how to put it on paper. She said, okay, let me hear the idea. Let me see what if I'm right for you or if you're right for the program. So I told her, you know, I was sexually abused as a child. I want to tell my story, but I also want to help others who have been sexually abused and who did not get the help and who were silent and is still silent because of their abuse. The book ended up being, the manuscript was written in 72 hours.
Wow.
72 hours. Like, hardcore. Wow. Like, yeah. We sat for 3 days and we just, everything on paper, everything, chapters 1 to chapters 14, you know. And while I was writing the manuscript, the title didn't even come for the book at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was done and I had the manuscript and I was just like, what do I name it? You know, and I played around with some ideas. I wanted to initially said, no longer the victim. And then I'm like, you know, a lot of people would, negative comments would be like, well, who says we're a victim? Right, so I didn't want that, you know? So one thing that we hear in sexual trauma or when it comes to light is, it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. You know, she's crazy, or, you know, she's this and she's that, or he's this and he's that if it's a male, you know? Sexual trauma has no gender.
Victim blaming. Mm-hmm.
Victim, exactly. And then, you know, when you look at cases, it's just like the lawyers, they go and they're like, well, what were you wearing and what were you doing this and why didn't you say anything, you know? And I was just like, you know what? It was not me. It was him, you right. know? So that's where the book got its title from, you know what? But instead of putting light on me, I put it on the abuser.
Right.
Which the book, it says it was him, and him is highlighted in a bright teal, and teal is the color for sexual trauma.
Okay.
So him is highlighted in teal and not me in pink, which signifies a female. Mm-hmm. So that was what it came about, and reclaim your power and learn to live beyond sexual, childhood sexual trauma means the power that you feel in your heart was stolen from you as a child or as a sex victim. How do you regain that power? You know, it was stolen from you. How do you get that back?
Do you, just to go back a little bit, do you feel like, how old were you when this occurred?
7 to 12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to ask you, do you feel like because you were, I was expecting you to be a little, I don't know why I was expecting you to be a little older, because I also experienced my own sexual trauma in that age range. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just wishful thinking that they would just leave the kids alone, but.
Yeah.
Do you feel like as you sought treatment and as you got older, you were ignored because you were a woman?
Yes. And the Black woman at that.
Oh.
A lot of people don't think that color plays a part in it, but it does, because there was some data that came out a couple years ago where they asked doctors and nurses, you know, who they felt had the highest pain tolerance.
Yep.
And it was the Black woman. So I was just like, no, I my tolerance is just as low as everybody else.
Yeah, it hurts.
It hurts, you know? And when I was talking to the military therapist at that, and I was telling them, they were like, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. And they kept okaying me. And I'm like, no, it is not okay. You know, what happened is not okay. And they're like, no need to get angry. Wow. Excuse me?
Wow.
If your child was sexually abused from 7 to 12, or even as a teenager, or even as adult, there's no need to get angry. So I stopped going.
And this was in the military?
This was in the military.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, women in the military, actually not women, sexually abused victims in the military do not get the help that they need.
You're not the first person that I've heard say that. You are not the first person that I've heard say that about the military. And it's sad.
It is.
It's so sad. And so once you left the military, mm-hmm. and you sought treatment outside of it, correct?
Yes.
Did you feel any different? Did you feel like you were being judged based on being a woman, being a Black woman? Or do you feel like you found people who truly understood and wanted to understand and wanted to help you?
Both. Okay. The first therapist that the VA set me up with, I mean, it was just like, okay, let's get down to business. And I'm like, hold up, sir. I do not know you.
You got to warm me up first.
You wouldn't even ask me if I wanted some water or nothing. Oh. And he said, well, to get to the base of what's bothering you. Oh, it's bothering me now. Okay. I was just like, okay, so we're just going to stop this here.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got in a different, I walked out and I was just like, I'm going to catch a case. don't send me back to that guy. I'm sorry. If you want the angry black woman, you're about to get hurt. Because, you know, the defense immediately went up, and it's just like, you do not care about me.
It's all about, let me see a patient. Let me see a client. Let me get paid.
Exactly.
Did you have, and this was a male therapist?
Yes. My current therapist is actually, I know it's weird, right? I felt that I would be more judged by a female.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Because
you know how we have this, girl, don't let nobody see you cry. Mm-hmm. Brush it off. You're stronger than that. No, I didn't want to be strong. I wanted to be vulnerable. And I wanted to feel the energy of the person that I'm talking to.
I appreciate you for saying that. I appreciate you for saying you didn't want to be strong. You wanted to be vulnerable. And I think more women need to grasp that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for saying it, because no one seems to know, no one seems to understand that that right there holds so much power in healing. Okay. Mm-hmm. It holds so much power in healing. Everybody wants to be strong. Oh, you're strong. And that's strong black woman. Yeah, I'm strong. I'm a black woman. But I hurt just like everyone else. You hurt just like everyone else.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you for saying that.
Yeah. It was, once you figure out what you want out of life, it makes it so much easier to achieve that. My current therapist, I've been with him for 6 years.
Okay.
And when I tell you, he's a man, if my eye twitches too hard, he's just like, okay, what was that? You know, he picks up on it like that.
Very okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. You know, I'm paying you to do this, to be my safe space. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Mm-hmm. With therapy, it's supposed to be your safe space.
Yes.
If you are not safe in that, then where can you be safe?
That's right. It's supposed to be judgment-free. You're going there to process and to heal and to figure out what's next. You shouldn't have to feel afraid to be in that space. And it's unfortunate that the stigma surrounding therapy, surrounding mental health, counseling, it leaves a lot of people in the dust.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you did do therapy. I'm glad that you got past the medication part, because they wanted to medicate and suppress instead of address what the real issue was.
Exactly.
And that goes on every single day. I get angry when I hear and I'm going to say women. I don't want to sound like I'm a feminist, but I've been through some stuff too. And I don't like it. I don't like to see other women going through any of the things I've gone through or anything that's not fair to them. So when women, especially, they go to the doctor, and yeah, I understand it's a doctor, and they take their word for it. There's no questions asked. My doctor said, I don't like it, but my doctor said, if it doesn't feel right to you, maybe you should question it. Maybe you should get a second opinion. Maybe you should look further into it, because it is ultimately, it's you. It's your body. It's your health. It's you. And you need to be in control of that. Anyone that you bring into that equation is there to assist you, to help you, not to take over for you. So when I see women who go in and they just take somebody's word for it, that's not healing. That's not processing. That's being told what to do, and that's further repressing what you went through.
Exactly.
So I'm happy that you did what you had to do, that you got past that moment, and you took your own life into your own hands. You reclaimed that power.
I did. I had to start somewhere. Yeah. And it had to be whoever I let in my circle. And even on my Instagram, I just posted this where it says, the world is not obligated to heal you. It's not. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand. I got a lot of negative, like, what does that mean? I'm paying them. You're paying them to identify a problem.
That's right.
Not to heal the problem.
You have to do that work.
You have to do that work.
Yeah.
And that's when the book came about and I started my research turning to theory, turned into practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my book, I created a couple of worksheets or activity sheets, I like to call them,
mm-hmm.
where one is called a trigger tracker.
Okay.
And a trigger tracker is basically you identifying date, times, events leading up to that a negative, intense emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, for instance, you know, Liz, you're out with your husband and then you smell something and just throws you back. You know, you don't really understand that it was a smell that triggers you, mm-hmm. right? Now, the trigger tracker, you know, once you start doing it, it's just like, okay, I was here with this person at this time. What was around? What could have triggered it? You know, is it anything physical? And then once you realize that, okay, it's a smell, it's a sensation, it's a smell that triggers me, now you want to identify that smell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you know that, okay, this is a trigger for me. How can I desensitize this trigger? And then the other thing is called the window of tolerance. Now, I did not create this,
mm-hmm.
but it's well known in the medical field where it tells you if you are... All right, so your window of tolerance is basically saying there's only so much a person can take, right? Before they shut down or they combust.
Absolutely.
Right? And to break it down, the window of tolerance lets you know, hey, this is my space. These are my limits. You know, it's a really long thing to get into, and I don't want to take up too much time. But in the book, it's explained exactly how to identify your windows. You know, for instance, if you're hypo-aroused or hyper-aroused, so it explains the negative, the more, you know, you shut down, numb, void feeling versus the angry, the anxiety feeling. And from there, using the trigger tracker, you're able to see what triggers sets off which window.
Right. Absolutely. Is that what helped you the most? You said you did EMDR. Was that something that really helped you?
It did. I was doing a lot of different things at the same time to try to figure it out. Sorry, that's my dog.
Mm-hmm.
So EMDR did help, you know, where, you know, you think of, you know, an event or a situation, and then, you know, it's the follow the therapist or whoever is conducting it, the rapid eye desensitization.
Rapid, mm-hmm.
So it does help, but I also was working on a lot of journaling.
Gotcha.
And I record, you know, there's journaling where you write it out, and then I was also recording when I could not journal.
Okay.
You know, and that's where I let out all the rage, the frustration, the anger, you know, the FUs to the world and to mm-hmm. the abusers and anyone that thinks that it's okay to take advantage of people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I was just like, okay.
You got breathe. Right.
I got it out and I let it go. What I learned is holding on to negative emotions, it makes your jaw tense. It gives you wrinkles. It, like, we're not trying to do that in 2020. We try to stay beautified. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This angers me, and it angers me because I know right now, while we're speaking, there's someone going through
yes.
what you went through. There's someone your age, my age,
uh-huh.
younger, that is right now as we speak going through this. There's people who know about it and are not saying anything.
And that's the worst part, is when they not necessarily take an active role, but a passive role, you know, letting it happen and turning a blind eye. It's just like, how do you live with yourself knowing that you are allowing an innocent person to be violated? Like, it makes no, it boggles my mind.
What kind of support did you have when you were younger versus now?
Oh, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't have no support.
Oh, wow.
I dissociated for majority of my trauma. Like, when it was happening, that happy place was in my mind. I didn't speak to anyone about it. There were signs. You know, my mom, she wasn't at the house. She was trying to make a better life for us in like a different state, going to school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the family members that was there, just they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And you know, my uniform started being burnt. My grades went from A's to like F's, but it didn't matter because I wasn't technically their child. So the effort that they showed their child versus me was not the same.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I forgave him. I'm just like, listen, I wasn't your child, so.
That was going to be my next question. What is your relationship like with them now?
I talk to my family. I'm not buddy-buddy with them, mm-hmm. but I talk to them. I'm very civil. You know, I have the rational thinking that if you don't know better, you don't do better. And I come from a third world country. I come from Jamaica.
Okay.
So if you don't know better, not to say that it was blindly in their face for them to do something, but you know, as a parent, that sixth sense should have kicked in at some point between those years.
Right.
It never did. So, and it, yeah.
Oh.
And a lot of women, a lot of girls are going through the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And that bothers me. That bothers me. Because I can't help everyone.
Can't help everyone. Is your book for teens or is it for older women? Is there an age range?
No, it is for everyone who can read.
Gotcha.
A more mature level. Okay. You know, so for high school students and up.
Okay.
But there is a bonus that in April, the children's version of that book.
It's me.
No one knows that, but now they do.
They do know, yes.
The children's version is called It Is My Body and I'm in Charge.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah. I was just like, you know, adult book, everyone's just like, where was this when I was a child? So we need to make the children's version of this. So it's censored. It just talks about, you know, this is your body. You got to keep it healthy, feed it, mm-hmm. exercise, elbows, knee pads when you go skateboarding, but also, when something seems wrong or inappropriate, tell an adult. You know, just both book coincides with one another.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you told us about the cover.
Yes.
What is the key theme and or message in your book?
Oh, the number one takeaway from this book is, well, there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
One is knowing that your power is still within you. You just have to do the legwork, get past the emotions, the uneasy emotions, the I don't want to deal with it emotions, and face that truth.
Yeah.
And know that this was not your, you are no way at fault for being sexually abused. That's your abuser's fault. And you need to lay the blame at your abuser's feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once you master that, like, this is not my burden. I've been carrying a burden that is not mine to carry.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. And the second one, which I know you might be like, what? The second one is, you know, everyone wants to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be happy all the time. Happy is just an emotion, just like anger, just like frustration, just like anxiety. It's an emotion. Happiness on all spectrum does not last for infinity. You are trying to achieve contentment with yourself.
Gotcha.
Knowing that when you lay your head at night to rest, you have done everything in your power to heal yourself. And that is enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. You're absolutely right. I'm content.
There you go.
This can come and go. I never really looked at it in that way. But I am content. And you can still be content and not happy.
Exactly.
So, gotcha. Okay. All right. I see you.
When you chase happiness, when you're chasing it, whether it's true financial happiness, true relationship happiness, mm-hmm. you know, trying to have others validate you, you become resentful.
Absolutely.
When you're content in your mind and in your heart, that when you lay in bed and you know, you're like, you know what? I did okay. You know, it doesn't have to be great on all spectrum. You just have to know that when you go to bed at night, you did what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And you did your best.
You
validate yourself.
Validation.
Yep. Absolutely. More people need to want to get the contentment they need from themselves. Mm-hmm. We're so powered by social media, friendships. Now, friendships are great to have, but the wrong friendships sometimes look like it's what you want to be happy. Mm-hmm. And like you said, happiness is not always what it is. You need to be content.
Yeah.
So social media, the wrong ships, situationships, friendships, relationships, yep. All of those. You have to be willing to weed out what really isn't for you. And people know, like I know, you know when something is really not right for you. You mm-hmm. know when you're just going along with the flow. You're going with the flow and it's not speaking to your soul. You mm-hmm. And then when things go south, then you're not happy. But you know this. So you got to be accountable for yourself. You got to be able to validate yourself. Leave the outside outside.
Exactly.
When you come home, and I always say my home is my sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So when I come in, whatever is outside my door, it doesn't work in here. It doesn't work in here. And people need to understand everybody don't belong in your house. Everybody don't belong in your business. Not everyone who smiles at you is not happy for you.
Exactly.
They want you to feel down. They want you depressed. They want to see you in your deepest anxiety. They want to see all these. Everybody is not out looking out for you. So you mm-hmm. have to be willing to step up and look out for yourself.
Exactly.
You have to be your own power cord.
Yep. And so I had an aha moment the other day where, you know, so I got featured on Fox, on CBS, I'll send you the link. I got featured, right? And I was scared, you know, and I was just like, oh, what if I don't do good? And then I was just like, wait, these aren't my fears, because I'm an Aries. I'll jump first and ask questions later. I'm like, we probably should have thought this through. So I know the fear and the anxiety that I was feeling about doing this interview was not mine. You know, there were some friends and some families, and I was just like, why am I letting them be scared for me and I'm not scared for myself?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Stop absorbing other people's emotions. It exactly. will hold you down. And I'm guilty of that. I'm not even going to lie. I am guilty of that. But I recognize that, why am I afraid? There's no reason for me to be afraid. Mm-hmm. None whatsoever. There's no reason for me to think I'm sure of myself. So there's no reason to think I'm going to fail. But for someone who really doesn't know me, they may think, well, you're not going to really be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And to allow that to sit in your head is your downfall.
Yep.
Everybody don't belong in your business.
Yep. Everybody don't belong in your business. It's so funny because, you know, the thing is, when you do good, if you're anything like me, you know, I like to uplift my friends. I want to be like, listen, we everybody going to the top. Everybody eating on this table. We all putting the tables together and we doing that. And then what I noticed was some of them was just like, oh, you're doing too much. Excuse me? What is actually doing too much? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
Is it the fact that I'm writing my book? Is it the fact that I just closed on my house? Is it the fact that is it the fact that I'm in a PhD program? Is it the fact that I'm getting certified as a trauma coach internationally and domestically? What am I doing too much?
Or is it the fact that they are not doing what or everything that they could potentially be doing and they're jealous that you are? That
exactly.
You have that gumption to go forth and do what you were meant to do.
Like, I have the audacity.
The nerve of you.
The nerve.
How dare you be great?
Exactly. And the book also goes in that, you know, don't let the naysayers dictate your life. Like I said, the world isn't obligated to you. Mm-mm. So why are you obligated to what people say? Why are you obligated to be less of yourself to please people? Mm-hmm. I stopped doing all that. I don't do that anymore.
You have to know when to let people go with no hard feelings. There does not have to be any animosity to it. Mm-mm. Friendships expire.
Yes. That was a hard pill to swallow, let me tell you. Because I'm an introvert at nature. I like to.
Me too.
And I have, you know us. If I say you're my peoples, I'm calling you 7 times a day. I'm making sure you ate. And you know, absolutely. When you realize that people realize that about you, and they take advantage of you,
absolutely.
It's like that child in your mind is just like, well, why would you do that? I'm giving you everything. Why would you still take what's not yours to take?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a form of trauma speaking. Because, you know, there's 4 phrases to the flight response, the trauma trigger response. Mm-hmm. So there's fight, flight, freeze, and form or foam. I might be messing that one up. But listen, I'm still learning here. I'm still trying to bring.
You're fine.
I think it's fun where it's like you're a people pleaser because of the trauma that you went through. So you want to please everyone. Mm-hmm. You know. So whenever a situation gets too much, it's always I'm sorry. I'll do better.
Yeah.
You know. And then it's just like, but it's not your place to be sorry for their mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a very important lesson to learn in life.
Yeah.
Or you'll be run, the world will run you and you'll be unhappy forever.
Forever.
Unhappiness forever because you can't achieve contentment forever.
Because you want other people to be happy and give the reaction that you think in your mind you deserve. You know? And sometimes if they're not, this is sad to say, if they're not at that level emotionally, intellectually, and physically, they won't give you the response you are looking for.
They're not capable of giving it to you.
They're not capable of giving, mm-hmm. yeah, not won't. They're not capable. Thus, you become resentful. Mm-hmm. Now, your feelings are hurt.
Yep.
You know, your expectations, it's not that it's too high, but you're expecting things that they have not achieved in their life, so they do not know how to congratulate you on those achievements.
Absolutely. And it's not your responsibility to get them up to that speed.
Yeah.
It is not your responsibility. Everything expires. They did, up until that moment, they did everything they were supposed to do to help usher you into your purpose. And exactly. People tend to want to hold on to those past feelings, the past feelings that felt right to them.
Yes.
But as you transform into this new person, as the days go on, you have mm-hmm. to be willing to let go of what is no longer serving you. And that means recognizing that there's nothing wrong with growth. There's nothing wrong with moving on.
Growth is uncomfortable.
Very, very uncomfortable.
And if you don't like to be uncomfortable, you will be stuck.
Yep, absolutely. And it would suck to be stuck with the wrong people.
One thing that broke my heart and still breaks my heart about this pandemic is children had an escape in school. Yes. That they don't
have it now. No.
And that breaks my heart.
And again, either no one knows or the people that do know are not saying anything.
Yeah.
And these poor children.
Yeah. So this is who I'm writing my book for. I've been through the journey. I've done the legwork. I've gone through the snot nose everything. Now I want to help somebody who is affected. Uh-huh. Even if it's just one person, to understand that, you know what? This sucks now. It's going to suck a couple years from now too. But you have that power and you just have to do the work and draw it out of you. You know, yeah. Set your personal boundaries, which I talk about in the book. That's one of the first worksheets that I discuss, is setting personal and professional boundaries. Because people who have been violated have gotten that boundary taken away from them. Especially at a young age, they don't develop personal boundaries like that.
Right.
You know? So it's now the time to say, you know, this is the things that I don't like, and it's okay for me to say no. You know, and it gives examples, and then it gives you practice. Like, you know what, here's an example of how to not get out of the situation, but how to turn down an invitation, or how to speak to someone about something that is bothering you without, you know, sounding crass or sounding, mm-hmm. you know, rude. So it gives examples. It gives a couple of examples, and then it journals at the end. There's a 7-day journal to say, you know, how you felt about the book. And the journal is going to be turned into a full journal along with the worksheets. You know, we'll see how the book does, and then we will go from there to the masterclass, you know, awesome. That talks about, you know, trauma-informed, yeah.
I was about to ask you, are there any secrets from the book that you want to share or that you can share? You already told us about the kids version.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
Yes. This secret. Okay. And it's a secret that you can get at like the store, right? Don't tell nobody. There's this thing called the weighted blanket. You might have heard of it, but let me tell you, that weighted blanket will change your life. will change your life. You suffer from nightmares and have anxiety in your sleep, which I did. I was just like, ooh, sleep time. I don't know about this. And then I got that weighted blanket, and it's just like being hugged all the time.
Really?
Hugged, and it's like a materialistic reassurance. I'm telling you, you got to try it.
I see it all the time, and I'm so stuck on my soft, fuzzy blanket. I just recorded an episode, and it's with a licensed clinical social worker, and she was talking about self-soothing. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things we talked about, because she talked about self-swaddling. And yep. You can use the weighted blanket, you can use the soft fuzzy blanket, just to get that security that you need to feel safe in your space.
Yep.
And I now have to go get a weighted blanket. I'm never going to get up. I'm never going to be able to be productive, because I'm always going to be in the bed.
No, you would sleep so refreshed. And, you know, this is not in the book, but this is between me and you, girl. Get that silk pillow.
Got that one.
It does good for your hair, but
got that one.
Fresh, you know, like your skin be glowing. I ain't got no makeup on. You know, I'm out here looking fresh at 8 o'clock at night.
Yes, you look like you are ready for your day. Not ready for bed. You're ready for your day.
Right. So it's just self-help. The book is an educational self-help book. It's all about things that you as a person can do that doesn't require a license.
Gotcha. You know? So tell everyone how they can find the book, how they can find you.
Okay, so the book can be found on my website, which is www.moniquepeterking.com, which is MoniquePeterking.com, and it's on their shop. So once you hit that drop down bar, you go to shop, and it's the first thing that pops up there. And you can contact me via social media on Instagram at the.moniquepeterking, and I'll be the first one to pop up.
You sure were, because that's how I found you.
Yes, I had to revamp and you know, like I said, we got to out with the old, and
you got to not be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. You can't be afraid of it. You can't be afraid. If anybody hates on you for that, they really were never your people. They were never for you.
And that's okay. I don't know how many of your viewers are religious, but there's this thing that was just like, God, give me a sign. And then he's like, okay, here's a sign, and you don't click it. And he's just like, okay, here's another sign. So he starts slamming the door on your fingers, and you're like, okay, I get it. It wasn't for me. All right. Yes. You know, I'm going to let it go.
it's not about what you feel, because your feelings are not always accurate. You got to go with what's right.
Exactly.
You got to get past the feelings. Some people are not for you.
Yeah, you got to take what they give you. If they're showing you something, don't try to like remove the layers. Take what they are showing you, because how they treat you is how they think you treat yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Besides is your book available now, or is
yes, it is available now for pre-orders.
Cool.
And all pre-orders will be delivered on March 1st.
Okay.
And there's the goodies, you know, for the first 500 customers that get it.
Okay.
There's a little, you know, maybe a little scented something.
Okay. All right. Is it going to be available on Amazon too?
It will be available on Amazon on the 1st of March.
Okay.
But the pre-orders is hardcover,
mm-hmm.
colored.
We get we get the good stuff.
We get the good stuff, you know.
Okay. I'm going to get my copy. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get my copy. I am so happy that you came on. I'm glad that we had this opportunity. I am looking forward to hopefully staying connected. And
definitely. And in like 3 to 5 years, I'm going to call on you to do another interview, because that is the big secret.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Secret, you know, it's the book, the master class, and then it's going to become a rehabilitation center for drug and for alcohol and substance addiction. Awesome. Which I go over in the book.
Awesome. And it's needed. Where are you out of?
I am in New York for the next 4 weeks until I move to my home in Texas.
You're moving to Texas? You're leaving New York for Texas? I don't blame you.
I'm leaving the snow for Texas. I got a house that's an hour from the beach. That's all I need in my life.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. I don't blame you.
I'm excited for everyone who gets a copy of this book. There's so many like small little goodies in the book, you know, and it talks about meditation as well. So meditation is for people who are interested in meditation.
Right. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's not for everyone.
All right. Let me give you a quick little tidbit that's not in the book. So you can literally be doing your nighttime routine, get into bed, and do a guided meditation.
Really?
A guided meditation, which I'm going to send you the link for once you get off. Okay. And it's just someone talking in a very calming voice, you know, telling you, you know, relax your palm. And, you know, it sounds crazy now, but once you do it, and then 5 minutes later, you're like, ooh, okay. I'm about to get up and start my day all over.
Okay. That is something. This year, I am going to focus more on self-care. And that means implementing new things. And calming my mind is one of them. So especially at night, because sometimes I'm up all times in the night. Mm-hmm. No reason, absolutely no reason at all. I need to calm my mind. So I said I was going to give meditation a try, but the way I perceived meditation to be is not going to work for me.
Nah, it's not the same. I got you. I got you. And then I know we are pushing the time, but one thing that I learned throughout this journey is self-care is not always Epsom salt baths and doing your nails. You know, self-care is sitting down with yourself and be like, you know, listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got the problems.
Yep.
Acknowledge. And we need to talk about the problems.
That's right. You have to acknowledge it. Yep.
Yeah.
You're not perfect. You are a problem sometimes. And that was hard for me to admit, like, oh God, I know that I did something wrong, but I didn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
You have to admit it. You can't overlook what you've done and expect life to be grand, because you're just going to keep bringing that same behavior into every chapter of your life.
Exactly.
You got to acknowledge it and want to fix it.
Exactly. So, yep, I learned that through the journey that, you know, even though they're like, dig deep. And I'm like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. I don't want to do this no more. And they're like, well, you want to heal, right? Okay. Who going to heal you if you're not going to heal yourself?
You have to do it.
You have to do the legwork.
Well, thank you so much, Monique. Join the Facebook group Between a Talk and a Hard Place and let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know if you have had any trauma issues that have kept you bound. And I will also leave Monique's information. I'm going to drop the link to her book. Please hop it. I'm excited. I'm definitely going to order. I'm going to pre-order. I'm actually going to pre-order when we get off. So I'm going to pre-order.
I'm all for it.